And to the for some more thoughts on that question from Brother Richard, some of these specific things that were revealed to Paul in this encounter, we might say, are, one is that Jesus Christ really is resurrected. He truly is living in heaven. You could read a lot of comparative religion textbooks, and they will describe the leaders of different religious philosophies, and Jesus is placed alongside other names. And then it is said, well, and then Saul of Tarsus came, and he expanded on those teachings that Jesus made when he was alive. That's not the way it was. He saw the resurrected Christ. He heard the resurrected Christ. He was not just expanding teachings that were that he was exposed to. He realized, he came to understand that there really is this Jesus of Nazareth, as it says in chapter 22. This Jesus of Nazareth is really risen. He truly is risen. And this is an essential point for one who wants to understand what these claims are of Christ. And this fact that he is that Jesus, later on, just to make a connection there too, in Philippians 2, he said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Here is Saul falling down and learning the name of Jesus as the one who is resurrected. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Sometimes we never want to be flippant with the name of the Lord Jesus and only speak of him, not ever as Lord, not ever as Christ, and so on. But there is a preciousness in just knowing him as Jesus. You can read through our hymn books and find wonderful thoughts about him as Jesus, and read the writings of centuries past and see these wonderful teachings of him as Jesus. We don't have to shy away from using his name by itself. And we don't wish to be flippant. And then also the fact that he is connected with his people on earth. Why are you persecuting me? To understand this connection, as it was said earlier, this is really the teaching of the church, that the church is his body and he is the head in heaven. This is a seed thought now, that he feels what his people experience. He knows what his people experience. He's not just a God way out there. He is intimately connected with his people on earth. And then maybe third, we might say that he has authority to tell me what to do. Because when Saul did say, what should I do? He's going to get some answers to that, some very specific answers. They're going to change his entire life around, as it was said. He's going to change 180 degrees. And why is he doing that? Because he has met the resurrected Lord, who knows what his people experience here on earth, and who has authority to tell him what to do. So those are perhaps three of the things specifically that are revealed to Paul here that are essential to one who really wants to know who Christ is.
I think also the answer to that question is really the gospel. And I think we get caught up in a thinking that the gospel is only to be declared to unbelievers. Well, no. The gospel is to be preached all the time to everyone. Paul made a very significant point in the book of Romans to declare the gospel to believers. And so if I'm going to really understand the centrality of Christ in God's purpose, the Lord Jesus in Christ's purposes, and his whole redemptive plan, the gospel has to be the gospel which Paul preached. It's the gospel that focuses, it's concerning the Son of God. It's concerning the Lord Jesus. And I think it behooves us to be constantly reminded about the gospel. Paul says, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. He preached it not only to the nations and the unbelieving company, but he made it a point to reiterate the gospel amongst believers, so that we all remember it's all about the one who is central to God's purposes, who is the Savior, who is the ascended man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just had a thought that we mentioned the gospel, and if we say the gospel is good news, well, it's not about just good news saving me from hell. It's good news that there is one who is a man in the glory, dead, burial, resurrection, ascension. It's good news about the whole of Christianity. It's based in that. But I was also thinking that the nominal man, yes, has not done what the Apostle Paul did. Mm-hmm. But so often he thinks that he knows God. The Apostle Paul, when he was a learned man, we are told. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as a good Jew, he had to know about God. Mm-hmm. That's the nominal man. That's how I can make a connection there, I believe. That, look, you as a man, yeah, you don't kill. You don't stand at the death of a man, but you believe that there is a God. That's what you say. Mm-hmm. But when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to him in the flesh, is that you cannot know this God unless you come through me. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the connection, that you think you're good. The Apostle Paul, look, Pharisee of the Pharisee, I did everything, I'm a good man, upstanding, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I know about God, and Ashton mentioned that, I believe. I know about God. However, you can't know God unless it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So even so, as a nominal man, who in this land of the free, and I hear I am bombarded day by day, television, different literature, radio, that there is a God, ineffective preaching, that you must believe in God. But then scripture bears out, you can't know God unless it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe, and you know, when I saw here, the Apostle Paul says, who art thou, Lord? The Lord Jesus, the answer was not, well, I am God who is in heaven. He says, I am Jesus. So in order to really know God, then you must come through this. And no matter who I am, that's the path.
You know, if he had said, I am Christ, the connection with Jesus might have been, maybe lost. He made it very clear, I am Jesus, to make that connection to him.
And that's why I like the point Mark made later on in chapter 22. Jesus the Nazarene. Mm-hmm. It was not just,
right.
And he mentioned it's Jesus is Joshua, but it was not just right. A man. But it was the man, and if we go back to the Old Testament, we find out that this man was to be from that place. And so therefore, it had to be this man. So just as the Apostle Paul had to know God through him, so it is also. It is this very same, the Jesus the Nazarene.
I'd like to go back to one point. I mean, we know this. But the fact that the Lord Jesus was so connected with his people, that when you persecute, when you're Paul, when you're persecuting these groups of believers, you're persecuting me. That speaks to us today, that if I am being critical of other believers, if I have issues with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and if I am being mean to brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in reality, I am being mean to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't think this way. Let's be honest. We don't think this way. But we need to think this way. And the other thing is, if other believers are being mean to me, Christ is going to advocate for me. I don't have to advocate for myself. Because if I'm a member of the body of Christ, if somebody attacks me unfairly or unfairly, if they attack me, I'm going to leave you to Christ because he's going to deal with you. That's how we got to deal with it. Rather than me trying to defend myself. So this to me just jumps out as an aspect of this. Christ is going to, he identifies himself. Jesus identifies himself with his people who were being persecuted.